Welcome to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you in the extra hour is the BFN Radio crew. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
If you missed the first hour, you've got to catch it. I'm telling you, we can win this argument if we get on God's side. For the Lord is great in battle. His enemies' heels melt like wax in his presence. Good morning, Joanne. Give a shout out to you and all your patients there in New York. Good morning, Sharon, Denver. Good morning, Zachary, North Carolina. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. My host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me, of course, is the VFN Radio crew. This morning we have Pat.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Producer Man.
What's up?
I don't know. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
You were doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
You were a wonderful job. Thank you for not smoking the notes.
Yes, thank you very much.
Right. I will contain myself.
We have to refrain from that because that's not who he is. That is definitely not.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. It's been at least a week. No, it's been a while. You know, we're seeing, you know, so many things take place, and you know, in the subways right now in New York, you're starting to see some signs. I'm seeing some things all over the place. It's amazing. You know, the devil and his crew.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they understand, you know, the church, today's church, are waiting for pennies from heaven. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for angels to show up and just do it for them, and then them just show, they're waiting for like a microwave experience in God. When you can read the Word of God and realize that they fought, you know, that the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing from the time of John the Baptist till now, and it's forceful men that lay hold of it, not physical force, but people use physical force on you, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, somebody gets locked up that's a believer, and all the believers line up in the row just to tell you why, yeah, I thought, and they're like, what are you doing? You know, Paul got locked up. Peter got mm-hmm. locked up. Bad things happen to good people. You know, I saw this thing, he says, I'm sitting here, you know, and I'm eating Oreo cookies, and dipping them in my milk, and I was soaking one. It broke off, and it went to the bottom of the milk.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Bad things happen to good people. That's what it said. You know, I'm like, you know, we got to get over this fact. Listen, Jesus got nailed to a cross, and he was perfect.
Mm.
You know, Paul, look, he wrote half the New Testament, and he was beheaded. I mean, we're not like wanting this to take place. Mm. But, you know, we do have some Saints fans around here that are kind of asking. Hey, by the way, I did have a chance to peek at the score. What happened? I didn't know you could count that high on the other side. Anyway, so it was bad.
Let's not even go there. It's just
I had to double check, you know. I had to double check, get my other glasses out.
You were seeing correctly.
Is that amazing? And they don't hear nothing, do you? As a matter of fact,
Is the T-shirt on?
Yeah, no, it's a bag. Surprise. Oh my goodness. So this has got a lighter gray than the last gray one. But you know, that so many things are going on right now. I mean, so many things are happening. I lost my train of thought. But bad things happen, and we have to get together. First of all, the one thing that happens to every human being is everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
True.
Get that, understand that, and quit being shocked that that reality comes and confronts you. And don't dare partner with somebody who says, oh, look, you know, so-and-so sins. Like, really? Really, Pharisee? Are you serious? Come on. You know, he says, if your brother is caught in something, you should go gently restore him, but be careful that you yourself wouldn't fall. That's not what... We all know that we're aware of this. We should be totally... That's why we're Christians, because we need Jesus. We need a Savior. And if we acknowledge it, he forgives us for it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing we need to do. Another thing is that you can be doing everything right, and for some strange reason, things go wrong. Mm-hmm. The American gospel, and I already was part of that whole manifesto thing as well, they got involved because they said they wanted to infiltrate the church and begin to change it, because they found out the church is the one that determines and dictates how the values of a nation happens, mm-hmm. and that how family, and they have to destruct the whole family core value the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that the truth is that, you know, that your struggles and the things that go wrong when you're doing what's right, you're moving in your call. That's your call. We're called to suffer for doing what's right. He said, this is commendable.
Right.
Peter says, this is commendable. Think about it. It's commendable. And somebody else, you know, there's been some other gospel I'm not preaching suffrage, but hang on. He'll need this message.
All right.
He'll need this dog.
Yes.
Yeah, right. You know,
tuck this away somewhere.
Yeah. And so, you know, somebody says, I don't believe in healing. And next thing you know, they needed healing. Like, you know, where's that? Just pray for me. Like, oh, my goodness.
Where's that guy?
And it's like, oh, well, you found that part of the Bible. And so that we have to understand then that just because something difficult or bad happened, it doesn't make you any better than them or any worse than you. But we understand that they're a brother or a sister, and that we need to be there for them. We don't need to buy into the world's viewpoint of what just happened right there. And right. And there's no sin that's taken you that's not common to man. There, you know, what sin sends you to hell? You know, and if you start naming a few and leaving a few out, that's mm-hmm. called pride.
Right.
You know,
that's
and
right.
So the fact is that all sin can be dealt with at the cross, no matter what it was.
That's right.
And understanding that, then we're not going to be unified as the body of Christ if we don't understand this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll let the enemy use those things to divide us, but then, you know, genuine, authentic grace of being receiving Christ not as a mental decision but as a heart decision, that there's also an authentic desire to live a life that's holy and separate from the things in the world. You maybe need to be discipled, obviously, and learn and that type of thing. But understand this, that, you know, once we get these basic things understood, we got to stand up and begin to fight the good fight of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Our heroes, the people that we look back as heroes, I mean, we call them heroes because they were looking at things that weren't right. They were looking at injustices. They were looking at the church going astray.
Mm-hmm.
They saw trouble with mankind. Something was going on, and they decided to step out. They were willing to step out from the crowd, step out from their daily life, step out from their personal treadmill of personal gain, and boldly they went against the grain. We're not called to live within the grain if the grain is going the wrong way. It's okay to stand up and say, this is not right. Even if you're alone, at least God sees you saying it's not right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, at least. You know, heroes are those people that say, you know what? That we're willing to die for a cause. You got to be willing to die for a cause. I mean, there's plenty of people lined up to be able to fulfill that commitment for you. You know, they want to kill you, you know, in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But understand this, until you're ready to die for something, you're not ready to live for anything. And the church has to get back to the place that we're willing to die for Jesus. We're willing to die for what we believe in.
That's right.
No, I'm not talking about physical war. I'm just saying standing up for God, and you will find you will have adversaries. You may have to die to your job, because when you stood up for God at your workplace, they would not stand up for God or stand up for you, and they kicked you out of your workplace. This is commendable before God.
All right.
Don't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar because you need a job.
That's right.
You know, bow only down to God. And you think about, you know, A.W. Tozer, he said, to be right with God many times means you have to be in trouble with men. And if you have the fear of man in your life, you're useless for this generation. You're useless. You're going to get people hurt. Because this is what John Bevere writes in his book, The Fear of the Lord. He says, listen, you serve what you fear. If you fear man, you serve a man. If you fear God, you serve God. But if you fear a man, you don't serve God because you serve what you fear. And you can say what you want to. If you're afraid of what people think of you, if you're afraid of what they might publish, and that's them, I mean, there's like none. I mean, you know, they could just annihilate you with the realities of your life and lies about you. You know, that you can't be a hero. This generation, we need heroes in the church. We need heroes in family. We need heroes that stand up. Listen, they're going to call a hero. Somebody says, you're a rebellion. You're rebellious. It's like, well, if going with God is rebellion against you, I celebrate this.
Got me in.
You know, it's resisting what God's established is the what I would be worried about.
That's right.
But if I'm going to resist Nebuchadnezzar telling me to bow down to this whole idol, if I'm going to resist, you know, the destruction of marriage and family, if I'm going to resist somebody trying to bring a dark blanket over my home, if I'm going to resist, you know, you trying to change my business and tell me I can't acknowledge God and I have to pay for abortions and I've got to do this and that and the other, I got news for you. You know, I'm not going to be your best friend. I'm going to be nice to you. But it's going to be ultimately, there's going to be an argument here. Right. My side of the argument is God's argument, where I just go, can't do it, sorry. You know, can't do it. Well, I'm going to do this if you don't. Hate it for you.
Right.
Hate it for you. So A.W. Tozer said this, and, you know, this is a very, you know, was an awesome hero in the Word, in the church. To be right with God many times means you have to be in trouble with men. And believe me, the men that are held captive, they will actually bring this up to you. Don't you realize you're going to be in trouble with me if you follow God?
Like, yeah, right.
And it's like, finally, you're not going to call me anymore. You know, right? finally, you're, you know, this whole mirage of a relationship that we never really had, you know, it was okay as long as we were going away from God, you know, but if we're going God's way, you know, and you find that wrong. I mean, you find that offensive. You know, the kingdom, if you find the preaching of the kingdom of God offensive, I mean, you're gonna find me pretty offensive to you. And those who love God, they're gonna be pretty offensive to you, and they're gonna offend. You know, the truth is like a hammer, is what God's word says. You know, and it's gonna offend those who are living a lie and says that the lie is truth when it's actually a lie. I mean, it's gonna expose that. You know. But that's not their goal. The goal would be say, hey, follow God, follow light. You know, when you think about it, you know, and when Peter was talking in Acts chapter 5, 28 to 30, he said, this is, they're telling him, listen, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, Jesus. Yeah, you are just keep on filling everybody in Jerusalem with all these teachings. You're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. It's like, but you are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Understand.
Did
that.
You say stronghold?
Yeah, you got to understand, because people will tell you, make it seem like, if you got to pause and think for a moment, go, but you are guilty of his blood. But they didn't see that. They don't see, they call it, you know, there's a stronghold. So Peter said this, you know, and the other apostles, you know, said the same thing back. He says, listen, we must obey God rather than man. I mean, we must obey God. And they're like, we must obey God rather than man. And so we have to understand, we're at a point right now in our generation that we've got to obey God. Well, it's important first to find out that you're actually listening to the right God. You know, and that's why we talk about abiding all the time. Because you have to know, don't just assume you know what's right. Get in the Word and find out, you know, what the Word says. You know, even Jesus when everybody's trying to get Jesus to do all these different things. Hey, why don't you stay here and manage our town? You got a great ability to do administrative giftings, and you know you're really, and we like the stuff we get from you and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh Lord, help us to be more like you. He just says, you know, I must be about my Father's business. I'm not going to hang around here.
Right.
Instead of going, psh, I am the Son of God. That is so offensive to think you just want me. I'm holding you together and giving you that breath that you're breathing right now to talk to me, and you want me to run your town? Mm. He just goes, I must be about my Father's business, you know. And so, but John 15:19 is when he tells us, Jesus says, listen, I tell you the truth. The Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever his Father does, the Son does also. And so we're at this point in time, and this is why you need to be discipled. You need to, we need to rethink this whole thing. And, you know, and it's sometimes you just got to dismantle what you have and begin from scratch again. Because, you know, Romans 12:2 tells us, he says, we're supposed to be nonconformists. When it comes to the ways of this world, we are not supposed to bow down to the ways of this world.
Right.
He said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and they feared not their life unto death. We are the they that they're talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not a subculture, but an opposite culture.
That's right.
God's culture.
That's exactly right. He says, do not conform any longer. That means it's it. Okay, hey. What does that mean? This means this. A lot of religious people will leave you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who openly are in darkness, they'll leave you. They won't want to be hanging with you, and they won't want coffee with you, and they won't want to hang out with you. Because you're saying, listen, I am not going to conform any longer to this by God's grace. And this is my desire. I'm going to constantly be saying, if I am going the wrong way, I'm going to say, I want to be the right way. God, help me go the right way with this thing.
Yeah. Right.
And we're supposed to be nonconformists. I mean, there's a lot of nonconformists out there to America right now.
Mm-hmm.
But how about some nonconformists to the ways of this world? He says, do not conform any. This is the Bible I'm reading from, by the way. Do not conform any longer to the culture. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. So he just says, listen, that means the world does things a certain way, and he's not saying anything about the world. He's talking to us, the people who profess to be his people. He says, knock it off. No more. Don't conform any longer. Be nonconformist when it comes to the way that they do marriage, the way they do family, the way they do business, the way that they think religion should be. All that stuff, just let it go. He says, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. We are supposed to be transformed. That's our call. Our call is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So what happens is the way we were doing things in the world, we got to begin to reboot and rethink this thing and say, you know what? It's okay for me to say, no, I don't care what you say or what you do or what you print about me or what you say about me. Or if you're going to leave me, if you're going to threaten me, and it's the fear of loss and the fear of death and the fear of harm, that's, you know, those are the fears, I'm going to serve God.
That's right.
I'm going to serve God. And he says by the transforming, that word transform is like a butterfly. You know, when it first starts off as a caterpillar, it goes into a cocoon, and it migrates in this cocoon, and it goes through a metamorphosis inside that cocoon. And when it comes out, it spreads its wings and begins to fly. That word transform comes from that word.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so you go through a metamorphosis. You're going through a metamorphosis in your life. Listen, if you've never even thought about being discipled, you haven't even entered the cocoon yet.
Mm-mm. That's right.
It's not an option. He says, don't conform any longer. We look so much like the world. When, I mean, if they took away the signs and the big buildings, you couldn't find us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You couldn't find, sometimes you actually can find more righteous people outside the church.
Yeah. What we've done is dressed up the caterpillar and not been willing to be transformed and not be discipled. So it's like put the Jesus pit on, put all this other stuff, the outer things that look like God but are not God. It's like, wait a minute, enter into a process where God can mature you and grow you, and you can be like him from the inside out, but you can never be like God from the outside in.
Right, and, you know, remember Boone's wrote a book. What, remember the title of the book he said, the title of the book?
Boone's
book. He's a worm.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes, Wellington Boone. Yes.
Wellington Boone, you know, that, you know, I'm a worm. But you know what? We're supposed to be butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be butterflies. We're supposed to go you know, it's okay for us to be a worm for a season, but at some point we need to become a butterfly. But people look at our lives, they should give glory to God because of what God's done in our life. Mm-hmm. He said, go around and do your good deeds amongst men so that God gets glorified, not so the man gets glorified. And so you think about it, he says, don't conform any longer to the culture of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word mind there is the word soul. And it's what you think, what you want, and what you feel. I think I want to feel, I think I want to feel, I think I want to feel, I think I want to feel. People go to sleep, they go, oh, I just think, and oh, I just want, and I just feel, you know, and they wake up in the morning and go, you know, oh, I think I'm going to have, and man, I really want this, and this, well, this makes me feel, you know, and they go to work and they say, you know, I was thinking, and I was wanting, and I think I want to feel, I think I'm just always thinking I want to feel. Right. It's like, okay, got it. Okay, that is the way of the world. Your soul right now operates in the context of what the world functions. That's what the world thinks, that's what the world wants, and that's what the world feels. And that's typical worm behavior. We're supposed to be like that when we first say we just got out of us where we are. But at some point, we got to find out how God wants us to think, what God wants us to want, and what God wants us to feel. We're supposed to be transformed, metamorphosized in our life in those particular areas. That's called discipleship. Discipleship's not just hearing preaching over and over again. It's finding out how making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, what it really means, what hot, cold, lukewarm, all that, that's what it means. It means you got to find out about that. And you got to think about this. You know, we're supposed to be nonconformists. And how do we renew our soul? How do we renew our minds? We do this through discipleship. I mean, Jesus tells us, he says, listen, if you hold to, or it means continue to follow my teachings, you're really my disciple. You're a butterfly. And so we have to know his teachings before we can follow them. And then we have to hold on to them, which is continuing to hold on to them. He said, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from your cocoon. You know what I'm saying? Cocoon, you know? You can imagine like all this, like, you know what happened? I just met with a few cocoons, you know, and they were just like wiggling around going, you know, I just want, I think I feel, I want, I think I feel, I want, I think I feel. It's like, oh my goodness, we're not going to be able to take this nation back with cocoons. We're going to have to take it back with butterflies. People that go through the not obviously, it's an analogy. We actually need lines. You know, we need to be transformed from kittens to lines, you know. Right. And go through this transformation, and you can do that through being Jesus' disciple. He says, go teach them to obey everything that I commanded you. What are those? I mean, think about it. Some simple things like knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. It's so important. You know, what is building on a solid foundation? Counting the cost. Somebody told you don't have to count nothing. Jesus said, you better count the cost. What does it mean to trust God? What does it mean to be hot, cold, and lukewarm? What does it mean spit your mouth out? I mean, if I'm going to be spit out of the mouth of God, didn't he say once saved, always saved? What is all this kind of stuff about? Why would he spit me out if he took me in? You know, we need to find out some other foundational things. You know, a new way of living our life. There's supposed to be a new way of living our life. Works versus faith. Think about that. You know, the potent mixture of faith and works, how we got to have them both at the very same time, but one can't supersede the other, and how to live a victorious life, or the New Testament baptisms that we're supposed to be baptized not only with water, but the baptism of the Spirit, but there's also a baptism of fire and a baptism in the body where we're getting connected and related and all that taking place, or building on for eternity. Realize this is all about eternity. This is not about this short period of vapored life that so many people focus on, you know, and also about the fact that this awesome God is also an awesome judge, and he's given us a blessing and healing and an impartation of authority to be able to operate in this life, you know, living in the grace of God. You know, what is grace? We have to get this again, you know, responding to God's grace, speaking grace over the mountains in our life. There's a way to deal with these big, huge things that are in our life. Grace in our everyday life. I mean, think about it. Also, this is discipleship. This is some basic foundational things. Freedom from the curse. Did you know that God has set us free from the curse? What is the curse? How, you know, you need to find this out. You need to find this out. Receiving freedom in Christ. And Christ has called you to be free and not to be bound. Living to fellowship with God, abiding with him that we talk about. Knowing Jesus Christ through his word, through prayer, through hearing his voice, and following what he says. I'm talking some basic stuff here, but really, I'm telling you, there's a lot of religious folk that have no foundation at all. And the storm is coming, And he said, if the storm comes and your house is not built on the rock, you're not going to stand.
That's right. That's you know, right.
What is the church? Listen, we got to reboot and find out what God says what the church is.
Right.
You know, the importance of the of being related in a local body of believers, in spiritual family relationships. Who's watching over you and who's watching out for you? You know, and the commitment that you need to have towards the body of Christ, which is to the local church gathering. Authority and accountability. You know, God's perspective on finances, how you're called to minister, that everybody's called to minister, and the Great Commission. This is just a few things. But you know what? Those are probably some areas, if you've been traditionally walking out in what we perceive to be right now in America, if you go from house to house, there's so many things. There's one particular man that's telling me, he says, listen, he says, the world's falling apart, and I really love, you know, my shepherd, but he just, all he's doing is just grace, 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 and it's like, it's all falling apart, and he won't talk about what's happening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and more than that, we need a foundation in our life.
That's right.
You know, we talk about abiding. That's what we're talking about. So rebooting, think about rebooting, you know, and you can reboot a computer. You turn it off and turn it back on again. Or you can defrag it where things are all, you got all this religion mixed in with everything, and it's got all kinds of stuff. That's something you heard on some movie and something else you heard from some backsliding Christian say, and somebody else from a grandfather may have said something over you. And, you know, but sometimes, and this is where we are. I don't think we're at a reboot phase at this point. I don't think we're at a defragging stage.
Mm-mm.
I think we need to reformat.
That's right.
We need to reformat our hearts. We need to reformat our hard drives. And what does that mean? You have to be willing to let go of everything that you thought was worth something. You thought you had to have. Quit trying to integrate the very thing that's made you miserable your whole life and just let it go. And if you're going to integrate it, quit telling me about it, because I'm not going to integrate what caused so much pain and caused our nation to be on the edge of the cliff. I don't want to hear it. I just want God.
That's right.
What, that's just pride. When you try to integrate all your life, all your things that led up to this particular point, you're saying you are taking credit for your life instead of saying, you know what, every day I start again.
That's right. Is it working for you?
It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, and so you think about it. So sometimes we just have to reformat our heart, you know, and how we're walking with God. The whole book of Genesis is about beginning again. Mm. God is all about, it's okay to begin again. Only pride would keep us from wanting to begin again.
Mm-hmm.
But if we'll humble ourselves, and that's what humbling ourselves, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, what does that mean? Reformatting your heart.
Mm.
Not integrating all the paganistic attitudes and actions and chasing after the things of the world and all your religious mindsets and things that are going on and the perversion over marriage and what's happening with, you know, just let it go. Just let it go. And it's an awesome place to be. And because God is God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance. He's filled with mercy and abounding in grace, and he's so quick to forgive. And this includes all of us. I'm talking to all of us. I'm talking to, if you're a pastor, I'm talking to you right now. Listen, if you really want to help your people, if you want to help your people, forget about rebooting, forget about defragging, and just reformat. Reformat. I'm talking to worship leaders. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers. I'm talking to dads, moms, children, prophets, evangelists, apostles, teachers, wives, husbands, board members, deacons, and whatever religious title that you potentially took on or somebody put on you. I mean, all of us.
Come on.
Just let's reformat our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep, there's a virus in the church.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. There is a virus in the church, and it's a religious virus. And until we reformat our hard drives, reformat our hearts, no matter what we do, the sin that's in the church, it won't go away. But if we fall to the ground and say, you know what, I'm willing to let go of all those programs. Boy, look about that. I'm willing to let go of all those programs that I got used to. I know how to work that program.
Mm-hmm.
All the cute programs.
All the cute programs. And, you know, just like Bill Hybel was talking about, we talked about this week, that he realized that people were trying to join programs instead of join Jesus.
Yes.
You know, and the...
what you got to listen to if you haven't listened to yesterday, Am I a Consumer? Make sure that you listen to that on the VFN Torch.
Right, right. Consumer Christianity. Consumer Christianity. And and this is Bill Hybels is talking about this. And listen, it's refreshing. I've been a part, I had the privilege of being a part of a an awesome move of God. Mm-hmm. And it was called the Brownsville Revival. I was ministering there with Pastor John Kilpatrick, and I was working with the married couples, and I was working with the men, and actually I was a community organizer.
Yeah, right.
And we had yet to understand about that, but once we found out, we definitely made changes. And and I watched, you know, at first God began to work on us, and then mm-hmm. he began to work on other parts of the church. It was all about the church. It was not about, it was very few people outside, it appeared, that didn't know God. These are people that once walked with God that were getting reformatted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you had pastors coming there, and they were getting saved. They didn't know Jesus. And it was so refreshing because they were willing to say in front of the whole world, all of that religion, all that stuff that I just took on from my father's stuff, and he was in the ministry, so I just did the ministry or whatever it was, you know, that they said, you know what? Whatever this is what I want. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And it was this freshness of the whole thing of just all of us are the same. Yeah. None of us are. Don't let anybody tell you we're all the same. But that's, see, right. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. The same Jesus will forgive us if we'll begin to say, you know what? You know, and we're going to talk about some things progressively over the airways to let you know that we got to get this. We're all the same. Nothing is taking you that's not common to man. And if you got to let it all go so that your soul does not burn in hell, isn't it worth it? And if you're really, if you really love your congregation, mm-hmm. if you really love your family, if you really love your spouse, isn't it worth you reformatting your heart? Because the truth is, if you don't, aren't willing to humble yourself, you don't really love them.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't willing to do what's required before God, that your family would even have a chance, you know, you don't really, you love yourself more than you love them. And the thing is, we're supposed to lay down our life. But listen, the bill of goods that this mindset, the argument of Satan that's been coming out over the world and over America is that, you know, choosing God is not an exciting choice. It's not, you know, it's not this exuberant. Listen, it's only because you're caught in religion. Mm. You want to live on the edge. Bungee jumping has nothing on anybody who wants to really live for God.
That's
Read the
right.
book of Acts. I remember just one particular man said this, and he said, you know, when I stepped out of the particular expression that he was in, which is more what we say today of a traditional type expression where you just go to the building once every week. If you're really good, you go twice a week. If you're really, really good, you shake hands at the beginning. And then, but then, you know, and he labored for years in that. He labored for years in that, worked really hard in that, you know. And he's a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And, but when he made a decision to leave that and step into the real deal, he said it was like stepping out of a flower pot into Acts chapter 4.
Mm.
You have to understand that our God does heal.
That's right.
Ananias and Sapphira do fall dead. Eli does go blind. Sons of Sceva, it works for a while for them, but not forever.
That's right.
That this is it's all, listen, it's only boring because you're locked down in religion and the enemy, as long as you stay captive in that particular place and you don't hit the streets and go into the harvest field and begin to function in what God's called you to do, by the way, you answer before God alone with no witnesses or suspects. You have to answer for your life alone, and the only thing that will define you is your fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And your fruit is not your gift. Your fruit is not your singing. Your fruit is not your, you know, prophesying. Your fruit is not your teaching. If it was your fruit, then Jesus wouldn't say, many people are going to come to me in the last day and said, well, didn't we prophesy in your name? And didn't we cast out demons? And didn't we? And they're talking about their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the gifts is something God's given you, if you have. And he goes, I never knew you. Away from you, evildoers. Your fruit is what we do to other people. Remember, he's going to divide all of us like sheep and goats. And the ones... And it's going to be determined by how we treated people. What do we do to human beings? Mm-hmm. What do we do? What did the rich man do to Lazarus? What did you do when I was in prison? What did you do when I was hungry? What did you do? Oh, I just kept showing up at this place and just, you know, cheering a party that was never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And that's captivity, by the way. We're supposed to be all over the place, going into all the world, preaching the kingdom of God. And so with that, you know, just think about reformatting. And reformatting, you know, you think about it, if you've ever had to reformat your computer, it's just like it's a major commitment. I mean, you got to set aside time. You got to decide what you're willing to keep, what you're willing to let go of. And, you know, when you realize, you know, I don't need all that. I can just restart again. You know, and sometimes, you know what? I'm just going to get a whole brand new computer. I'm just going to start with a fresh hard drive. And I know kind of analogy with a heart and the computer, but understand it's a lot like that. Because a lot of things that keep recurring in your life is because you never clear off your hard drive. You let some of that stuff stay in your mind. You continue to feed it, and it's like a virus in your life. And you won't repent from that sin. You won't quit feeding into that sin. And now you have a stronghold stuck in your mind, and it keeps taunting you and haunting you, but it's there because you chose for it to be there.
Yeah. And that's the thing about a religious spirit is that just because you once maybe might have known God, or you had an experience with God, doesn't mean that you're walking with God. Now, you just can't decide to turn on the light and decide to say, I'm just going to put on God now, and I'm going to try to do the ways of God and what I remember I did way back when without first getting right with God. It's exactly what you're saying. You got to clear off the hard drive. You got to turn your heart back to God and then say, you know what? That's what I did before. That's what I tried to do in God, but I'm going to let go of all these religious ways, and I'm going to start brand new with God. I'm going to start brand new. I'm not going to bring any of that old things from the past, what I heard, what I learned, that's not of Him. I want to start fresh, and it takes humility. But when you do that, God just pours Himself out in such an awesome and an amazing way. Once you have the real deal, you'll never want to go back.
You won't, and that's what abiding is. Once you make this decision, every day is a beginning again. You're working from a place of success. You're no longer working for success.
Awesome.
You know, you're staying at zero because Jesus is your hero. And you'll do anything He tells you. You know, you'll go anywhere He wants you to go, and you'll say anything He wants you to say. And that's reformatting. And you think about, you know, how can I do this? Well, first of all, there's known sin and there's unknown sin. There was an unknown sin offering. Israel had the unknown sin offering, you know, and we think we know everything, but there's things we don't know. And so all men have fallen short. So every one of us have sinned. What do? We need to just fall. You just need to fall to your knees. Don't try to integrate any of your past religious acts, efforts, accomplishments, certificates, recognition. Cry out to God as a sinner, and just say, I've fallen short. Ask Him, say, forgive me, and commit your life to Him, to the Son of God, as His daughter, as His son, and desire to walk in love and obedience to Him. Act and believe that you know nothing. What is He, God, that He is mindful of me, a mere man? Oh, God, that you would consider me to be in your family. That all of my sins and my failure and my shame and my inadequacies, and that you just wash them away. Who am I in your presence? Worthy. And then all of a sudden your perspective goes like, oh, my goodness, He's so awesome. And He is. He really is. He really is. Assume nothing. Stop assuming with God. Oh, I know that already. No, if you knew it, your hard drive wouldn't be your heart drive would not be all messed up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humility is being willing to begin again. You know, a lot of people they lose their job, a lot of men especially, and since their identity was wrapped in their job, they can't get over that to begin again in another job. Because they wrap themselves so much in that, that they go into deep depression. They just think, everything that I invested, everything that I did for that man, everything's like, were you your job?
Right.
And so and it looks like he's just a real broken, sad, destitute man. But the truth is, he's a prideful man. He's not willing to begin again. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so just live a life of beginning again. You have to, because if we're not willing to begin again, then what we're saying is everything we had before that was our God.
That's right.
Because God stays with you no matter where you go or what you do. So you're not beginning again with another God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hold things loosely. Realize God as your God. And sometimes if we make things God, God lets us know we made it God and he takes it from us. And we check our hearts and go, oh, my goodness, I need to be reformatted here.
Right.
And just begin again.
Mm-hmm.
Just begin again. If that's you, if that's what you want to do, I want to encourage you, make that decision now. Let go of everything. Forget about trying to save the nation right now. Think about saving yourself. And then think about a chance to save your family. And then from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and begin to work your way out from there. And then to relate to people who are walking in the same direction. Then begin. Because he says, if my people who are called by my name do this, he says, I'll fix everything else. But if we're going to try to fix the world without reformatting our heart, I got news for you. We're going to lose the world. Be right back. Yeah, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, You have your VFN radio. You have Facebook. You have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. If we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
There comes a point in time when God begins to call his people to himself. He begins to call out to our hearts, call out as deep calls into deep. He begins to lure us to himself and speak to us and reaffirm us. And sometimes he just says, listen, I'll just forget all that. I'll forgive all that. Just come back. Let's reboot. Let's go back to the cross. Let's go back to your first love. Listen, God, even though the condition of where we are right now in America, where the condition of the world is, and it's not good, I mean, God's still calling himself a people. He's calling out. The question is, will you respond? It's to you. It's not to the person on your left. It's not to the person on your right. You know, if what you're doing is not what God says to do, wouldn't you ask yourself, what then should I do? Right. What does God's word tell me to do? I mean, you've got to be, I mean, think about Steve Hill. Mm-hmm. You think about Steve Hill. He just wanted God desperately. I think about, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, when he said, when God began to pour himself out on Father's Day of 1995, even prior to that or during, he says, listen, I don't care where God is moving. Wherever he's moving, that's where I'm going to be. We have to become that desperate. As a matter of fact, Steve Hill right now begins to talk about the condition of America, and I'll be right back.
This is what I'll come do, okay? And I want to talk about a move of God, revival, just for a few minutes. And our nation right now is in terrible shape. Our nation needs something besides religion. And religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. Okay? Religion is, and America right now is hanging around the cross. Okay? The cross has benefits. Okay? There's great benefits to Christianity. But Jesus got on it. And he talked to his disciples about getting on it. And so, revival to me is a little bit more, there's a little bit more sacrifice, involved in it.
And it's exactly what you think about it, that is what it takes. And he proved it with his life. He proved it by saying, you know, I'm desperate for God. I'm willing to get on the cross. God has called us to pick up our cross and follow him. Mm-hmm. Follow him. And what we do, we're together because we're following him. I mean, he's what we have in common. If you're ready to follow him, if that's you, if you don't want to see this nation just go by the wayside, you don't want to see it just set aside. You know, God is looking for a people. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Maybe, just maybe, the VFN family's for you, or someone that is moving in the context of what God is doing in this day as well, across the earth. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, but we're not just talking about it. We're doing it. VFNfamily.org. I want to continue talking about the kingdom of God. He says when you're born again, the very first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and that's the king's dominion in your life, taking over parts of your life. And then when he tells us to go out, he tells us all to go out. It's not you don't pray if you should go. You need to pray if you should stay. And by the way, I can tell you what he's probably going to say right now.
Yeah.
Because think about it. He allowed the church, the original intent of God in Jerusalem, because we have a tendency. We all have a tendency as human beings. Mm-hmm. We just kind of gravitate towards comfort and convenience and predictability and what makes our flesh feel good. Mm-hmm. And the church is kind of hung around in Jerusalem. You know, they hung around in Jerusalem. And it's like, well, the goal, the original intent of Jesus is to go out into all the world, you know, Jerusalem, Judea. Hello, is somebody talking about Judea, right? I don't like Judea out there. I like Jerusalem. Yeah, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And so in that, you know, they just kept staying. And so God allowed persecution to come to the church. And how you know he allowed it is because they ran the church off, but for some reason they didn't run the apostles off. So the apostles still stayed in Jerusalem. If you're going to try to stop a nation, if you're going to try to stop something, you're going to go for the leadership. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And remember when Paul went back, he went back to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem and asked for wisdom about what's happening out in the outskirts and what was going on in the Samaria and the uttermost parts. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, they had to be persecuted, Pat. Mm-hmm. They had to be persecuted to go out. I mean, that's how much God's into going out and spreading his kingdom. He says that when you go, when I send you out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and preach that the kingdom is near you. And when they receive Jesus as their king, as their Lord, as their Savior, and they say, which means I want him to be the Lord of my life, then at that point, the kingdom has expanded. It didn't expand when you built a wing on your building. It didn't expand when you actually got a new staff member. Mm-hmm. It didn't expand when, you know, you read more scripture that day. It expanded when you told somebody about the king and they said, oh my goodness. And they say, I know. And they receive him. And then the kingdom expanded from your heart to their heart. And now both of you guys are carrying the kingdom of God. We're like kingdom containers. Mm-hmm. That's the original intent. The original intent is for everybody to hear, everybody to be given an opportunity to receive the king and his kingdom and to begin to seek his kingdom. And then we're out of here because our king is coming back. King of kings and Lord of lords. And we're going to live with him forever. And if you're thinking it's about a building, if you're thinking it's about a stuff or the next song or your talent, you know, or your gift, listen, it's about you going to tell somebody about this King Jesus, that he loves them and he has a plan for their life and that he can forgive them and he can restore them and that there's hope. And understanding that you need to seek his ways. And I'm going to encourage you, even though that you've been around, you know, the church for many years, you know, you've been around other believers, you may need to go back and find out the original intent. You need to get discipled. Right. You need to get discipled. You need to begin to abide with God. And you can do that. You can go to iAbide and request a free plan. We have a simple plan for you. If you don't have one already, go to iAbide.org and request it. Immediately, it will come to you. And we have some basic foundational tools for you. First of all, you can just start hanging out with God and abiding. We have even a video how to do it, you know, real simple. But then there's also discipleship. There's some Foundations of Faith booklets that you can get that begins to build. Because you've been around for a long time, you think you're supposed to know something. But there's people that graduated from high school that couldn't even read. Mm-hmm. So just because they went to high school don't mean they have an education. Just because you've been hanging around the church doesn't mean you've been discipled. And we're finding out over the years that people have hung around for years but don't even know the basic Jesus as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get the foundation again because I have not even thought about going out and advancing the kingdom of God. I never thought about rightly relating that I am the church and that I need to go be the church and that the word of God applies to me and not just to a building organization or that type of thing. So I want to encourage you, the kingdom of God, looking at the original intent of the church.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And yes, the VFN Radio crew is here. John, Pat, and Chris. We are coming to the end of the extra hour, but I want to cover the wisdom moment. The wisdom moment. It is the 20th of the month. Right, John?
The 20th.
The 20th. And the 20th, we look at Proverbs chapter 20. And Proverbs chapter 20 today, we're going to be reading a particular scripture for wisdom because we won't have wisdom in our life. It's Proverbs 20, 22. Proverbs 20, 22. It says, do not say, I will pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord. He'll deliver you. That's a very untimely word. Mm-hmm. Let me say it again. Proverbs 20, 22. Do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord. He will deliver you. It makes me think of Proverbs 25, 21, 22. He says, if your enemy is hungry, give him some food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you're heaping burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you for this. Listen, the world's way of thinking is totally different than God's ways of thinking. Listen, it's God is the God. He's the one that judges, and he forgives. He forgave us. He'll forgive you. He'll forgive them. It's for God to do whatever he's going to do. It's not for us to bring justice. Let God bring the justice in the context of that when we're done wrong. But Romans 12, he talks about it when he's talking about it here. Romans 12, verse 19 and 21, he says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you'll be heaping coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's what I just want to encourage you. Listen, the way that we win this thing in your own life, in your own marriage, in your own family, in your business, in your county, your state, and your nation, church, is we begin to love. We begin to love. We just allow God to bring justice. We don't bring justice in the context of that. You know, we're nice to people. We go the extra mile. We're like, you know, if somebody asks us to go 1 mile, we say, you know what, I'll go 2 miles with you. If somebody steals our shirt, we give them our coat too. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody borrows something from us and don't pay us back, we don't demand it from them. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't tell everybody, oh, they owe me something. They owe me something, you know, and understand that God will do that. But realize this, in the context of that, God could be extending mercy like he did for you and like he did for me, so that they can repent themselves before God, so God would not have to serve justice on them and bring wrath down on them. That's not his desire. Mm-hmm. He's not into what men's justice is like. He's into forgiving and mercy for those who turn. Mm-hmm. And so we need to stay away from the mindset of saying, you know, I'm going to pay him back. I'm going to pay her back, you know. And a lot of people I've seen, you know, I know we're coming to the end here, their whole life is given to living out revenge. You know, I'm successful because I was trying to do someone else in. And I'm talking ministers. Mm-hmm. It's like, are you serious? You built that whole thing on idolatry. Anyway, so understand this. Our job is not to repay. Just allow things to happen and God will work things out. Proverbs 20, 22. Do not say, I will pay you back for your wrong. Wait for the Lord. He will deliver you. Well, God bless. We're coming to the end of the extra hour. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can catch us 24/7 on your apps, on your iPads, and at VFNTV.com. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow.